Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights, brought to you by Lumina Health Partners, a national healthcare consulting firm focused on improving the strategic, financial, and operational performance of provider organizations. On this program, we will explore trends and share valuable insights on how health systems and medical groups can optimize their performance to meet the demands of this increasingly complex healthcare environment and shift to transform the delivery of care. Value-Based Care Insights is hosted by Daniel Marino, Managing Partner of Lumina Health Partners. Daniel has been in the industry for over 3 decades and specializes in shaping strategic initiatives for organizations in areas such as population health, clinical integration, physician alignment, information technology, and data analytics. For additional insights, visit luminahp.com and sign up for our newsletter. Dan, over to you.
Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights. I am your host, Daniel Marino. As many of us have known, working through a lot of aspects of not just value-based care, but working with primary care and just overall the care delivery that occurs with patients, behavioral health, behavioral medicine, understanding some of the lifestyle issues, some of the social determinant factors, it is such a critical part of the overall care or the overall health to our patients. And the big challenge that we have here is that the physical medicine that's being delivered by our physicians really are responding to a lot of the clinical needs, the care needs of patients. And we're only starting to take into consideration the behavioral health components. And you can tell through some of the research and through a lot of the discussions, especially since the pandemic has occurred, lifestyle issues, social determinant factors, health equity issues are becoming just such a critical part of the care that we're delivering, not to mention the patient outcomes that we want to achieve in improving the health of our patients and our communities. Well, I'm really excited today to kind of dive into this topic a little bit further, and I'm extremely excited to have a wonderful guest. I'd like to introduce Dr. Matthew Berg. Dr. Berg is a clinical health psychologist within the Yale School of Medicine, section of cardiovascular medicine. He spent quite a bit of time within his practice, within his research, looking at some of the concerns and the contributions of stress, emotional factors to incidence of cardiovascular disease and so forth. Dr. Berg, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
So Dr. Berg, this is, you know, again, I think a topic that is becoming even more top of mind. Many physicians, many provider organizations are incorporating behavioral medicine into the care that they want to provide to patients, but it's been a real challenge. From your perspective, why has this been such a challenge of integrating behavioral medicine more in with physical medicine?
Yeah, so I think there are several issues. I think that even pivoting from fee-for-service to value-based care is a challenge in itself, just in the way a healthcare system is set up to deliver care that they're paid for. And so value-based care is about outcomes. It's not about delivering so many services. It's about the outcomes that those services produce. And so that's a challenge. And to make that shift while at the same time recognizing the contribution of lifestyle and other behavioral factors into the how those factors contribute to patient outcomes. Sort of not only do these healthcare systems have to change their model, but now they have to incorporate something that they never had to before to create, produce the outcomes that payers are increasingly interested in.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a part of it. I think another part of it is that because that requires the integration of people like myself, clinical health psychologists and other behavioral health providers who have not been part of the model before. It's like, well, where do we find these people? How do we connect with these people?
Right. How do you even connect with the data? Right. So,
yes.
And a lot of times when I've spoke to primary care physicians, they're only starting to ask the questions, for instance, around lifestyle around health equity. And one of, you know, was interesting, some time back, I was talking to a primary care physician about this. And one of the challenges that he said to me is, look, you know, I really care about their lifestyle, but when I ask the question and they tell me their response and what their challenges are, this particular physician said, I find it really difficult to respond to it, right? I don't know how to fix the problem. Do you feel like maybe that it's sort of like, you know, you have to be careful what you ask for type of a situation? Is that what's maybe held physicians back?
Well, I think that's a part of it, but I think, you know, a physician is trained to do medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a psychologist is trained to do psychology. And what we're talking about here, you know, is engaging the patient in a problem-solving effort. Well, that's what a clinical psychologist, that's part of their training. That's not part of a physician's training. And so, you know, I think that the extent to which this emerging model is still physician-centric is going to bring with it challenges that will be difficult to overcome. I mean, even where you know, positions or consensus statements coming out about the care of cardiac patients and saying that lifestyle should be a focus, and who these white papers task to do that work is the physician. And I think that the physician is not prepared to do that. And that's appropriate.
Right.
Everybody brings an expertise, and that's why, you know, an integrated care model is going to be better for delivering those outcomes, that value-based care, because you have then a team delivering the care where each member of the team brings an expertise. And then the patient is being seen as a whole person, not just a biological entity. They have biology, they have psychology, they have the social context in which they live, which brings social determinants of health for good or bad in terms of their health outcomes and their ability to engage in the kinds of things that will promote their health. And so you really do need a team approach.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, that team-based model, I think, is going to be key. And we've talked about a lot of the aspects of a team-based model, particularly when it comes to primary care, right? Because, you know, one of the things that we've discussed is if you're truly going to, you know, work through access and meet the needs of the patient, we should really be thinking about bringing in social workers, bringing in obviously APPs, bringing in dietary and some of the other areas. But really what I'm hearing you say, and you bring up a great point, it's really an expanded focus beyond that, right? It's really bringing in behavioral activations into the delivery of care to the patient, right? It's really that expanded view through the team-based model.
Absolutely. I mean, there are many patients where all it will take is the physician to say, look, I'm your physician, and what you need to do for your health is get some physical activity or this or that. And that will be sufficient to mobilize the patient. But there are a lot of patients where those kinds of, you know, just gentle reminders or the you know, physician sort of saying that is not enough. That somebody needs to be able to work with the patient. That will take some time, you know, in terms of how to motivate a patient to engage in the kinds of health practices that contribute to their well-being. I mean, it could be even something as simple as, you know, medication adherence.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many aspects where it's incumbent upon the patient to participate in their own care, and it's, and that takes somebody with expertise in working with patients to engage them in doing that. And for many patients, it's sufficient for the physician to say, here, do this. But for others, it's more complicated than that. And it often does involve the conditions under which the patient lives. And so you need these additional experts as part of the team.
Well, and I think you bring up a really good point. So, you know, the focus typically is on the patient, right? Meeting the, treating their illness, meeting the individual care needs of the patient. But there's a lot of discussion around there that we should be thinking about this more on a macro level, right? Focusing on keeping the populations healthy. And what do we need to focus on where we could respond to maybe some of the lifestyle challenges of the population, or even some of the you know, the demographic challenges, if you will, of the population. But in my mind, that's a real culture shift, right? So how do we incorporate that macro view of the community around managing the population and taking that down to the patient, giving the tools to the physicians and to incorporating behavioral medicine to drive that change?
Yeah, so I think, again, it sort of brings us back to where we started in terms of the challenges that healthcare systems are facing. And value-based care is inherently about prevention. It's about preventing the high cost, downwind problems that people can have, heart disease, metabolic disease, major organ system diseases. Mm-hmm. And if we can prevent those, then we'll save money and the patient will be better off and have more quality of life years. It's been known now for several years, a WHO report, along with others, that more than 50% of chronic disease burden is attributable to lifestyle and the conditions under which people live.
Yeah.
But that's not what our healthcare system focuses on. And so we need to pivot. If we're really going to impact chronic disease burden, bring that down and bring down the costs that come with it, as you say, we're going to need to pivot to more of a preventive focus. It's going to have to be earlier on, and it's going to require the incorporation of experts in those arenas that we now know drive that chronic disease burden. People who are experts at working with patients around their lifestyle, around the stress of the conditions under which they live, about how to mobilize communities around mm-hmm. those conditions to the extent possible. How do you find safe places to engage in physical activity? That's a question that for some folks is more of a challenge, but engaging with the community then is a way to begin to problem solve with them to address some of these factors. And, we talk about social determinants of health always in this negative kind of way, but there are resilient communities. There are a lot of aspects of yeah. those social determinants that are positive. And again, it's about mobilizing these communities and working with them. And that is not necessarily the role of the physician alone. The physician has their role, and so do the other members of a healthcare team.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, I'm Daniel Marino, and you're listening to Value-Based Care Insights. I'm here today with Dr. Matthew Berg, clinical health psychologist with the Yale School of Medicine and Section of Cardiovascular Medicine, having a great conversation around the integration of behavioral medicine as a driver of patient outcomes. So Dr. Berg, I want to build on that a little bit. You had mentioned early on, and I agree with you, the economics are really important to drive the paradigm shift, right? You know,
yes.
I've thought time and time again, form follows function. If you don't have the right incentives, it's hard to make that change. But integrating behavioral medicine and the outcomes around that has been a little bit of a challenge. I think it's been tough to kind of see what some of those outcomes are. In your opinion, and in some of your research that you've done, how have you started to kind of bridge that gap around what those right level of outcomes are as we think about driving the change?
Yeah, well, so, I think in terms of the experience I've had, probably the most impactful was when I was working more in a clinical capacity within a VA medical center. Mm-hmm. And I was there as the chief of the health psychology section at the time when primary care was established as a model of delivering care. So moving away from all specialty care focused elements, specialty care is still there, but the primary care provider was now driving the overall care of the patient. And once that was present, they started, these test programs, the VA started these test programs of integrated primary care, the team-based care that I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And the research that's come out since then, and the VA, as often is the case, is the pioneer in testing out new models of care that are more cost effective. But, as this then became, expanded you know, or at least be, you know, began expanding nationwide, and people started doing research to look at the outcomes associated with this. I mean, what they find is that integrated primary care is less costly care with better outcomes, better health outcomes, and higher patient satisfaction. And so, you know, you look at those things and you say, well, okay, this seems like a winner. But how to, you know, I think around the
country, how to create the economic model around that, right, to support it?
Yes.
You know, intuitively, I agree with you. I mean, it's the right thing to do, and it makes sense.
Yeah, of course, it partly it's about the payers.
Yeah.
You know, and when you talk about the payers, of course, that also involves the government because of Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
But I think all of the payers are seeing that we need to make this shift. And that's why all of a sudden we have these test cases of value-based care that CMS is rolling out. We see, you know, even in terms of the research funding from the government with this new ARPA-H initiative that was launched almost 2 years ago, where they just came out with an announcement a month or two ago about, you know, test programs. They want to fund these test programs that are going to focus on prevention.
Yeah.
With you know, designated outcomes within a short period of time, moving up the health of a population.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in the webinar that ARPA-H did for this, all they were talking about was value-based care.
Right. Well, and the outcomes associated with it. And I'll tell you, just building on that, I am excited about some of these new innovation programs or these models that are starting to be released. You know, you mentioned ARPA-H, but you know, there's the HEROES program.
Yep.
And we talked, you know, a month or so back in New York, the 1115 waiver that was out there, and how they're addressing health equity, all trying to integrate with CMS and incorporate into some level of value-based performance. I'm really encouraged by that. And I think as we start to look at these different programs, I can't help but think that at some point we're going to start to refine what that outcomes tracking and the financial incentives around that, what it will look like.
Yeah, you know, I agree. You know, it's not like, oh, here it is, and we can just pull it off the shelf and make this this shift. I mean, this is a very large change. This is like really steering the aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to do it. And how to do it is not going to be a one size fits all.
Yeah.
And so we need, excuse me, we need these test programs to sort of figure the way through, figure out what works and what works for whom. And healthcare systems need to be incentivized to engage in those tests.
I agree with you. I think the healthcare systems do have to start thinking about this as an investment into not only their patients and their communities, but in also investment into their physicians and into their providers. In working with a number of the physicians around the country, and even hearing you talk about this, I often wonder how well trained the physicians are to incorporate behavioral medicine into the way that they practice. I mean, I would think intuitively, like you said, it's the right thing to do, but practically, is it being done? And I don't know, do physicians have that right? I don't want to say skill, because it's not necessarily the skill, but maybe it's just the learnings and the approach.
Well, you know, I would argue that maybe it is a skill set.
Yeah.
You know, much in the same way that physicians have over the years learned to work with physician extenders.
Right.
How do you know, PAs, NPs, physicians, you know, started in larger healthcare systems, physicians started to learn how to incorporate a pharmacist. When the patient has more complex, you know, medication regimens, yes, they have to learn how to do it. And, you know, when I was talking earlier about the program at the VA hospitals, I mean, the program was about training. It was about training in integrated primary care. And that's how they set it up and started testing this model of care delivery, by setting it up as a training program. And so you had medical residents, you had nurse, advanced practice nurse trainees, you had pharmacy trainees, you had dietitian trainees, you have clinical health psychology trainees,
right?
Who each of whom were being managed by their attending, right? And so the attendings were learning how to work together, while these trainees were learning a team-based model of care. And so, you know, the VA is arguably the largest training institution in the country, at least in the healthcare arena. And so, you know, one can imagine that a lot of physicians now are being trained in that way. Where we're not seeing it is in specialty care.
Yeah.
So the notion of integrated cardiovascular care, for example, it's like, you know, cardiology trainees, they're cardiology fellows and advanced fellows. It's all about technique. I'm learning how to do this intervention. I'm learning how to do these tests. I'm learning how to, you know, manage a patient in a 15-minute visit. There's going to be learning that's going to be required as part of this effort to test out new models of care.
Well, and as you said, I think I agree with you as you're putting it forth. I think the skill level has to be expanded. I think the care model, how we're delivering care, certainly has to evolve, where we're taking that into consideration and not thinking about it maybe so episodic, if you will, and thinking about it maybe a little bit more comprehensive or certainly more holistic. As we're thinking about really that 360 view of what the patient needs are.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm encouraged by these models that are emerging and these funding initiatives that are emerging.
Yeah.
And as a clinical health psychologist, you know, what I see is partly my role is to continue to encourage my colleagues to get involved and be involved and reach out with, you know, If they're independent practitioners, find group practices to engage with. If they're part of a healthcare system, encourage leadership to look at these models and to participate in these models.
Well, and to your point earlier, if we're really going to improve the health of our communities and really focus on true improvement of patient outcomes, we have to look at the behavioral health component. Behavioral medicine has to be a part of that, because there are so many external factors that are really maybe even contributing factors to the clinical issues that patients are having. And I'll tell you, I think this is definitely an area that's been near and dear to me, just because I think it's been such a challenge for many behavioral health providers to become fully integrated in the care that's being delivered for patients. It's still been very siloed.
Yes. When new, you know, ideas emerge, it takes time for them to gain traction. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this increasing traction. I believe that as this new delivery model and this new way of contextualizing service and pay for, you know, how healthcare is paid for, I think that will increasingly gain traction because the outcomes are going to be better. And I think that as that happens, there will be more and more opportunity.
Yeah. I think the financial incentives will definitely drive the change. Well, Dr. Berg, I really appreciate your time. This is, you know, again, a great discussion. You brought up some interesting and certainly thought-provoking points. If any of our listeners today, I think, are really thinking about how to incorporate more behavioral medicine into their care models, any pieces of advice you might want to share or some thoughts you might have on where they can start or how do they move it forward?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great question. I think for clinical health psychologists, as I was saying, I think it's about reaching out, finding opportunities to engage with medical colleagues, to, you know, even do presentations.
Mm-hmm. Right. Build that learning.
to get on the schedule for doing, you know, the standard presentations that are part of what, you know, how we all practice and learn, you know, whether it doesn't have to be something as big as a medical grand rounds at a major healthcare institution. Group practices do have those times where they get together and there's some in-service that's done. So I would encourage the people in my direct community to be actively engaged, to, you know, to reach out to leadership of different of their the institutions around them, to leadership of their professional organizations as well. For my medical colleagues, it's the same thing. It's about looking for opportunities to engage, to reach out, maybe through professional communities as a starting point in terms of, you know, how do you identify people who psychologists, you know, and their allied healthcare providers who are engaged in that behavioral medicine work? How do you identify these people? And it's like reaching out to the local professional organizations as well.
Well, I agree with you. I think, you know, inserting both the clinical medicine in with the behavioral medicine and creating that alignment, probably through conversations, education, training, I think is really key. Well, Dr. Berg, you know, again, I want to thank you. Great discussion. Certainly an area that is of utmost importance to how we're managing the care with our patients. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. Until our next insight, I am Daniel Marino, bringing you 30 minutes of value to your day. Take care.
Are you at a crossroad with value-based care? Do you need to chart a future strategy or improve your organizational performance? Visit us at luminahp.com to learn more about our consulting services and leadership development programs. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter on our website and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. For more information about value-based care insights, visit the program's page on healthcareradionow.com or luminahp.com. Join the conversation using our hashtag VBCInsights. We are Lumina Health Partners. Thank you for joining us today. Until the next value-based care insight, stay well.